Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f***?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, what's going on?
Yeah, good man. How are you?
Yeah, good man. Little maroon jumper, yeah?
Yeah, you know. You know how it is. Sometimes you got to switch the palette of life.
You got to embrace the raisin, my brother.
Yeah, you've got it. You've got it.
Oh, man. Fucking hell. Good to see you anyway. What you been up to?
Same as everyone else, yeah. Just indoors.
Nice. Should we just do the intro for this guest?
Yeah.
I just spoke to you a minute ago.
We can talk about all this shit later.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually fucking excited, mate, because this is a very special guest, all right?
Very.
Today's guest is someone whose art has captivated the imagination and hearts of the nation.
Wow.
Someone whose fingers are some of the highest skilled fingers in the industry, but whose face still remains a mystery to all.
Tell them.
Yeah? Well, apart from us, it remains a mystery because we know everyone and everything.
Yeah.
Obviously, yeah. Someone who's not only had a hand in creating things that you would never know he was a part of, but also someone that's famously brought the grime scene alive in the form of old regal art style paintings. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell him.
The sexually overactive wonder child that is Ruben Dangor.
This is nothing more than an intro.
Man, like, in the building, hey. What are you saying, bro?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Yeah, good, man. I'm just going to get straight into it.
This is so cool.
Yeah, trousers off.
Mate, you've got nothing on your shelves, Hugo. It's just...
I know. I'm in a stock room in, like...
Ryman's.
Yeah, Ryman's, yeah. Paper is flying out.
Just, yeah.
And, like, USB drives.
People love them.
I don't know what else they're selling there.
Biros.
Sharpeners,
yeah,
stuff.
Wait,
Ruben, you look like your full time job is being a professional footballer.
Yeah, that's what
health football kit designer.
Just dabble,
dabble in it. I just wear the clothes, and that's enough.
Yeah.
People go, oh,
I'm not even into football, but I'm into football tops.
Yeah, same.
That's it. That's what it's about now. It's not about football. It's just about wearing clothes that look like you know about football.
Exactly.
Yeah,
also, some say designing.
Mm.
That's not the Adidas Predator, is it? The Ruben Dangor special, is it?
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
I just left it there. I'll just grab it.
Yeah.
Yeah, get it down. Why not?
Get it down, come on.
It's weird. It's got, what's that on it?
Oh, wow.
That is insane. Is that your signature?
I think it's my name, actually.
Jesus Christ. Did you?
Oh, God.
Because you, did you hand design them?
Hand designed them.
Yes.
Wow.
Wait, what are they called? Daddy...
Adidas Predator with like a number after it, demon skin, bro. Or something. I don't know. They're mad. Yeah. Crazy.
They're hot. And you know what? And I'm not, like I said, I'm not even into football, but just having an Adidas Predator of your own, which that, and that's such a classic football boot. Even back in the day, for someone like me that wasn't really into football, I wanted Predators.
Yeah, yeah, everyone knew about they were like the mad ones, and you, every like kid who had them would be the one who was like banging in the sick goals. And you thought, oh, I just
had them. That curl.
Yeah, yeah, exactly, the curl.
Is there, I swear there was like a David Beckham advert, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He had his own
curling the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, fuck David Beckham. We've got Ruben Damgaard on the show.
Come on.
Ask. If you don't ask, boy, you don't get. Ask.
How has everything been? How have you been dealing with lockdown?
Do you know what it's like? It's probably everyone similarly, but like lockdown one, was like quite all right, actually. It was like sunny and hot, and we just moved and we had like a garden, so we were like doing up the garden, and it was chilled. It was like, I was like, this is quite a vibe working from home.
Yeah.
And it was like new, and it was like, 3 weeks off work, this is sick.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. And here we are. Like a year later. Look, this lockdown's been a bit like more trying, I'd say, like just because of like, I don't know, maybe it's like the weather. And you,
for people that have just might be listening at any time, this is lockdown. Was it lockdown number three?
I think we're in part three.
I've lost track.
I think we're in part three.
Yeah.
The trilogy. I see it as part two, personally.
Oh, okay.
It's a heavy lockdown.
Yeah. So Hugo doesn't believe in lockdowns. He just dips in when he feels like it.
I'll do what I want. Yeah. I'm down the gym.
They're open where he's from.
Yeah. I'm going swimming.
Yeah. You're tier one.
Tier one. Obviously, you've been spending more time at home and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, you being a... Do you know what I mean, being an artist, is it more? I guess there's been a lot of things that has been going on that you can just like draw off, right? And you're quick on the trigger, man. You just come out overnight. You know what I mean? Like
2020 like, it's been busy from that point of view, hasn't it? I mean, obviously you had like lockdown,
so much happening.
Yeah, COVID, and then like George Floyd kicked off the Black Lives Movement. And just like the general sort of political state here and in America has all been quite crazy, and then Trump and et cetera. So like, I don't know, it's been kind of mad, but it's also been good. Like, quite a lot of, like you said, like a lot of the art I was doing is quite like reactive and trying to do stuff very quickly. And lockdown actually was nice to have a little bit of time to do work that like lasted a few days or even a week or a couple of weeks, because normally they're like a couple of hours, so like nice to be able to like sit there and actually, do you know what I mean, like work on something. So I did a few bits like around lockdown on the subject of lockdown and stuff, and it was like that was sick, because it was like it felt I could take a bit of time with it, do you know what I mean? So it's like a different sort of way of working. But it's been all right, man. It's just been it's mad time.
Well, I know, man. Yeah, that's the thing. And like I guess we all like, you know, like touch wood, we're privileged, do you know what I mean? Like we're all people that can I guess transform those situations into something, you know what I mean, into something positive. Like you say, like you've got more time to like focus on like works. I guess you might have like other projects that in normal life you wouldn't be able to just bang out something you fancy doing, you know what I mean?
Which
is positive. But like on a sort of time for yourself sort of one, have you had more time for yourself to like you know, not necessarily work on yourself, but even just like just, you know, relax,
doing a lot of self work.
A lot of meditation.
I have, it's been good. Like it's definitely, you've got more time and less distraction to sort of like try different things in terms of like say your actual artwork or whatever. But in general, just maybe watching stuff that I hadn't maybe checked out before or like been meaning to watch. It like having a little bit more time just in general just was nice, especially at the beginning where it didn't feel like that this would just be our lives now. But
you felt like it was a holiday.
It was cool at the start. Like
Definitely
a bit of that. And like going into animation a little bit and just sort of trying stuff that I had wanted to do, but just like not really had the space to do it before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw you had on Instagram, a filter.
Yeah, man, that was crazy. That was the stay at home one. You mean?
Yeah.
That was sick. The NHS one.
Yeah, that was really good. Again, it was just one of these things that came up. Like, I'd done the piece and then started talking to like a company who they build these kinds of like AR filters or whatever.
Yeah.
And they just jumped. They were like, oh, let's turn this into like a real thing for Insta and stuff. And it felt like a good time to do it. And again, it was like one of those things that I'd never thought about doing like a filter for Facebook or something like that, Instagram. And and it was great. It was like, it just worked. It worked really well. And yeah, hopefully just like that kind of stuff. Cause I felt like this lockdown as well, I feel like people haven't been as like, yeah, let's just try this. Let's just do this. People are just like, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Just like a bit more kind
not
of.
Not again.
Yeah, not again. Before it was, I don't know. It feels a bit different, but definitely, that was great.
Now that was sick though. And it's also something that, especially at a time like this, it feels like we're all connecting over different things. And that NHS thing was something that everyone could like, absolutely, obviously man. Relate to and connect to. And it feels like your work has just got more and more like that, you know, like whether it's like, you know, making you think or making you realize or raising awareness, like there's always some sort of message to it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like reactive to the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also with comedy like that, that's another thing that's always, I always relate to in your work.
Yeah. I think like it's really difficult because obviously I can only sort of do it from my point of view, whatever.
Yeah.
But it feels like when sort of like Brexit had just started happening and I was seeing like loads of people dropping like essays on Facebook statuses, like sort of ranting and shouting and stuff like that. And it kind of felt like it never got the engagement that person wanted to start. It was just more shouting and And it sort of feels like with like imagery and artwork and stuff, I know it's like cheesy, but that whole picture saying 1,000 words or whatever, it kind of does ring true a little bit. And you can kind of boil something kind of complicated down into like kind of something easily digestible, easily shared.
And
more memorable. Yeah, exactly. And then
and
maybe
sometimes it is that simple. Like sometimes saying that like black people and white people, you know, they should all have the same rights. You know, like black people should have the same rights as everyone else is simple. There's no argument to that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so like having an image that's just the concise message, sometimes it's all you need. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely. And it also, I think a lot of people, me included, like in like conversation or everyday kind of life, expressing those kinds of things might not come so easy. Do you know what I mean? It might be.
Same.
So like, but then if you see something that you're kind of like, shit, that definitely captures how I feel. And I really enjoy that kind of thing where, you know, and then you get a lot of people being like, oh, that was that sort of, summed up how I was feeling. That sort of captured how I was feeling. Maybe they might not have had the words at that point to like express it or whatever. And I guess that's the kind of weird alchemy of the internet, is you end up with like people all over the world sort of saying like, oh yeah, I relate to that, or
man.
It starts a bit of conversation.
Also, it feels less, when it's an image or a bit of art, it feels like something can people be drawn to or not, rather than it being shoved down someone's throat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely, man.
Even on a basic level, like if it looks cool, like that's going to get their attention, especially as things are consumed online by just literally flicking your thumb. Like it's hard to get people's attention.
No one's got time. And like, I think as well, a lot of it isn't overly critical of like, say, government, et cetera. But there's a lot of stuff that you can kind of take from it what you want to take from it as well. Like, it's not like I'm saying you must think a certain way, or hopefully people are able to sort of at least, I don't know, maybe it clarifies how they feel about something, even if they don't feel the same or whatever. But
I actually coined a term for it. It's called open to interpretation.
Alan, that's Alan. Thank that's you. Alan.
Classic Alan.
Thank you. Yeah.
Wow.
The person everyone's talking about.
Yeah. The person on everyone's lips.
It sounds like a name of your first album.
Open to interpretation.
Like you at a piano.
Nice. In brackets, but it is good though. So if you think it's shit, you're wrong.
With a roll neck on and an all white cigarette.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. a Davidoff cigarette.
Like yeah. misty lens kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. yeah.
Recorded in Prague.
They, like, Ruben's already thinking of how it even looks. You know, the artwork.
Yeah.
I can see it.
He's always on the job, this kid.
That's it. Done. I would love to see that artwork.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I used to love vinyl art, man.
Oh, like, it's so good. Yeah. Man.
If I found a vinyl with a guy in all white with a white cigarette by a white piano, I'd buy it. I don't
just
I didn't
on
care.
Principle.
I had to buy it. Yeah.
I remember I'd see just like, not even in like a proper, like a case on the wall. I'd just see random vinyls that you like just stuck to the wall with blue tack. Because it's like a 70s yeah. band and some
the music. Yeah, it doesn't really, yeah. There used to be a record shop near me and like it had like a sort of bargain bin where everything in it was completely like mental, shit. Like yeah. 70s film soundtracks and stuff. But
oh, yeah, that's yeah. sick.
It was all
yeah.
shit. Like, but the actual artwork, like, just so sick.
Fire, man. It's mad that artwork now is, it's all pictures, really, like 80%, maybe. I just made a wild statement and then didn't really realize what I was saying.
That's controversial. That's controversial. Yeah.
No, this is a fact. 80% of music album covers are pictures.
80% of art is all pictures these days. Let's get some more photos in it. Come on.
Yeah, come on. That's what we like.
Drawings, photos, not just pictures, right?
Yeah, yeah, and I mean a drawing where you're not even colouring it in.
Yeah, yeah. You know what I mean? Just the outline.
Proper art.
Sometimes outside of the lines as well. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Or the art's so good it looks like a photo.
Oh, that's my favourite. That's my favourite. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very so, realistic.
I want to have a 4-hour argument with the artist, not believing that it's a painting.
Yeah, yeah.
Hey guys, it's Ron here. Coming back at you like Cleopatra. Trying out a new catchphrase. But yeah, I hope y'all guys enjoy the podcast. And remember, all the links will be down at the bottom. All the recos down at the bottom. And I hope y'all enjoy them. So, Ruben, have you got any recommendations? Any things you've been watching, you know, over the last, well, fucking year and a half?
Yeah.
And
I've
been in lockdown, isn't it? Jesus. Let me tell
you. So, yeah, like, I kind of, similarly to what we were saying about, like, lockdown one, it was quite like inspirational and like motivational documentaries. I was like watching the Jordan documentary, you know, like The Last
Yeah,
Day.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like the Dre and Jimmy Iovine, the
Defiant ones
and that kind
That's
of
amazing.
Yeah, yeah, amazing, like really good. And then this lockdown, it's all got a bit like darker. Like I watched what was it? Mindhunter on Netflix. Which
oh, I fucking love
that. Yeah, that's amazing.
Mindhunter.
So, I feel like no one watches it because every time I bring it up, people look at me like a man.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then when they're like, oh, what's it about? And you're like, well, it's about serial killers. And they're like, oh, sick.
No. Cool.
I've seen loads of documentaries. It's not a documentary. No, it's
a series.
It's not the first time when police knew it was more something to do with.
They coined the phrase serial killer.
They didn't even know.
Yeah,
they're like, "All right, oh, sick."
Yeah. Yeah. Do you know what's sick about it is that you got all the name brand serial killers in there. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
Yeah, yeah.
Like cameos of like old, yeah.
Manson, yeah. He's top tier. No, he's number one name brand.
Yeah, I'm sure. Doesn't even get his hands dirty.
Yeah, he's a culty guy, right?
Yeah, more my vibe. More my vibe. That is the best way. If you're going to kill people, innit, don't do it yourself. Because you don't have the trauma. I want to have the more like thinking your coolness, but not the trauma.
So yeah, that was Smash Mindhunter.
Wait, have you seen what's it called? Night Stalker.
Sick.
The
documentary.
The documentary. Yeah, it's on the list because I'm in now in serial killer mode, I guess.
Yeah.
It's time.
Popping your knife.
It's time to step it up. Yeah. Yeah, he's no Manson, but he's a good one.
It's because he does it himself. It's a bit, yeah.
He likes to get his art tools.
Yeah.
You'd be like a real twisted serial killer that murders them and decapitates them and draws a painting of it.
This is what people want to hear in a podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. Made of blood. Oh, wow. In a gallery, like a rich man staring at.
Is that shit, semen and blood? Yep. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it?
The Holy Trinity.
Is that a picture of Christ?
Okay. Here we go.
His spit and blood.
Yeah. Is that Michael Jordan or Jordan? No, it's Jordan. Yeah.
It's Jordan on the cross with Michael Jordan's head. and trainers.
Nice. Are you going to buy it or not? I'm going to get the fuck out of my sight if not.
This is a shop, not a fucking gallery.
You've got your own shop with it. Yeah.
That's how you know he's a psycho. Not the man. It's the shop.
Yeah. Oh, man. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, so a bit of that. What else? Oh, do you know what's mad? I had never actually watched The American Office at all.
Oh.
And you know, when you like find a series that has like nine series, I can't remember, is it nine seasons or something like that?
Something like that, yeah, eight, nine. Yeah. Yeah.
And it's great. So for lockdown, that's been amazing. This lockdown,
I wish I had.
Yeah. I've just been working through it. And it's because initially I was like, oh, I don't want to watch it. It's a bit like the British.
But a lot of people think that.
Nothing like it.
But I feel people need to change their approach to it rather than like, this is the American David Brent. He's not David Brent.
No, that's what I'm saying. I'm about to do an announcement right now, yeah, because shout out Issa. He messaged me recently after years, you know, like all of us, like office purists, you know what I mean, UK office. Mm. He's like, no, I'm not watching that shit. And then same with you, like over lockdown, he had the time and he's just like, he's on season six. It's taking him literally like two weeks.
Amazing.
Or a week. And he's like, this is incredible. And I said to him, we had a chat about it. I was like, that's the thing. I didn't watch it for years until Hugo told me to watch it because you're comparing it. But if you're looking at it like two separate things, do you know what I mean? This is an apple, this is an orange. Cool.
That's what someone said to me, though. They were like, don't see it and try and be like, this is the American David Brent. See him as someone completely different.
Yeah. Mm. Michael then, Scott, man.
Yeah, series two.
It's so different because I think back when it first came out and they had sort of, because I think the first series, it's very comparable in terms of like the storyline.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. I'd always say start a series two anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I kind of got past that and I was like, this is so fucking good. And there are so many people in it, like amazing people.
Great.
Yeah. Pop up and you're like, oh my God. Like, yeah, it's
Dwight.
Dwight is unbelievable.
But Jim and Pam.
But he's so good. Dwight, right, is like, he's more... I don't know, like more three-dimensional than say like Gareth.
For sure.
I don't know. I'm loving it though. So
no, you're right, because it feels like in the English Office, and that's why it's so amazing and pure, and that's why he's such a iconic character. But it feels like everything was put into just Brent on that show, like mainly.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
Like all the different emotions and layers and stuff. Whereas with this, they've really focused on so many of the characters that it's so like giving, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? And it's a lot more. It's a lot brighter because it's American, so it's quite a good thing to watch in lockdown as well.
Yeah, I feel like... Yeah,
definitely, man.
You don't really know Gareth. You just know that he likes sort of nature documentaries. It's like surface level.
But Dwight,
you know he has a farm.
Yeah,
feet farm. Massive.
He's a sheriff.
Yeah, he's a sheriff. He's a sheriff.
And he's loads of shit.
He's a freelance bouncer.
With the English Office, the first time I watched it, I didn't give a shit, but I wasn't really into the love story at all. It was all about Brent.
Definitely.
Yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's
and
true.
And then later on, when I rewatched,
I just wanted to just have that feeling of like crushing cringe, like where you can't even burns your eyes. Like it's so... I'd never felt that in a TV show before. It's like internally like...
It is crushing.
I live off that energy, like thrive.
Yeah. I just have experienced that. The first off is the first time where I literally felt myself like folding inside. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Floating. Peep Show does that for me a lot.
Yeah.
Like I'm not enjoying this, but I kind of am.
Yeah. I have to pause it. Peep Show, I like need like little breathers where I'm just like to like unfold and be like, okay, you're back in the game. Yeah. You can watch it again.
Because there's some people that can't actually even watch, like our director of People to Do Nothing, Jack, like he loves The Office and obviously he's directs our stuff and always has. And one day I was like, obviously that, like, we take it for granted that we all love, you know, The Office, Partridge, Peep Show. And I was like, obviously in Peep Show. He's like, oh no, I can't watch that. I was like, what? He's like, I can't. It's just too much for me, man.
Actually, going back to recommendations and listening to things, the Oast House, talking of Partridge.
Oh my God.
Oh, so sick. It is like,
bruv,
beautiful. It is so fucking great. I love it so much.
Gibbons brothers, the ones that wrote it, they're just so sick, man.
Yeah, they're so good. And actually, your Corrupt FM podcast as well was good. That's been really good to series.
Oh, sick.
Yeah,
that was really fun to do.
Yeah, man, that's been so good. They work so well. like as audio, like they're really, really good, man.
We definitely I think the series took its inspiration from The Office, and then the podcast definitely took its inspiration from the Alan Partridge style, you know, like the describing little things for ages and rambling and that. Yeah,
it's really good, man. The survival episode in the first, is it the first
series one?
I just don't know why that one is so.
Is that that's the one where Steve goes Richmond Park? Yeah, right?
You're getting him to like cook roadkill and like drink his own piss.
You know, I'm not gonna lie, when we're doing these I can't believe that they're paying us to do this. It's insane.
We're chatting more shit than on this podcast, which is insane.
There's probably 7 hours to each episode that gets cut down.
That that one, the I can't remember the guy who you have on who's like the expert about survival, and Grindr's like, what would you do if it was a house fire? What would you do if it was a shark attack? But
I love doing the Grindr stories because they are literally always just freestyles. We literally sit there and I just keep adding more and I end up, we're all crying, laughing, and I'm like holding my nose and then Beats is like, hold on, but how would you have? And I'm like, oh yeah. And then add something else ridiculous.
They're amazing, best. Am I a bowler? Strike. Oh my god.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, to anyone that doesn't know what the fuck we're talking about, we've got People's Do Nothing podcast series 1 and 2 on Audible. So give it
Definitely listen.
Then listen back to this podcast and understand our banter.
All
right, so let's take it back. Ruben, where did you grow up? North London?
I grew up in East London, but East moved London. To North when I was about 13 or so. So I was born in Hackney, and then and then moved to North. But been in London forever.
So where did like being creative or like you wanting to be creative, like where did that start? Can you remember?
I guess I feel this probably sounds well cliche, but I feel like I'd always drawn. Like, it's just one of those things where I don't really remember not like drawing, if that makes sense. You know, in school, you have like a funny kid or like a fast kid or like kid who's good at football. And it was just like, I was good at drawing or art, whatever. It was just like something I always done. And then,
was graph ever a thing for your generation?
Yeah, massive, man.
Was it anything that you were kind of even dabbled in?
I did dabble. So
everyone had a tag back in the day, innit?
So I drove back to see my folks who live like just up the road, and there's like some garages not far from them. And like when I was like 13, 14, me and like my mate, we kind of snuck out on a late night one and we're like, let's graft it. I'm going to do a mural. It's going to be so fucking sick. And then like absolutely just defaced. It was like, I drew like a man with a gun or like massive spliff. Or like
with the words shit and fuck next to it.
With a mic in his hand.
He had like a gold chain, a gun and a massive spliff.
Massive, like a spliffy character.
Yeah. Literally. And then so I was driving past. And I like just happened to look in, and it's been painted over, but it's still there. You can still
see it. Like, that's amazing.
But that was like my like sort of big foray into graph. And then
That was your first exhibition work.
A public exhibition just on the street. You know what I mean? Just like,
it's not a gallery; it's an exhibition.
So that was like I was really into the cult, like obsessed with the culture. I had like. You know, like the Martha Cooper, is it Martha Cooper books? Like the sort of subway art and all of that stuff.
Subway art, amazing.
Yeah. That's legendary. Legendary. Yeah, that's like the only book that was in school about it.
In the library. From the radar of teachers, that's how like legendary it is.
Interesting.
Art. Street art.
Yeah.
And there was another one which was kind of like, I remember it was like pretty, it was pretty sad, but it was like New York murals for people with like sort of street. It was Martha Cooper as well, I think. So same photography in that, but it was like RIP. I think it was called RIP. And it was like all the story, like these mad murals and then stories of the people who died or whatever.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty deep for you to be.
I remember being like reading these things and it's like 17-year-old like Johnny, just like
his head blown off,
bludgeoned to death.
Yeah, and I was like, cool art, man. Yes,
yeah. He got bludgeoned to death, but he got that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So so I just used to try and like kind of, I'd be like trying to draw like all these like legendary graph characters and stuff, and used to love all that, but I never really, it never really like translated to, like, I remember my mum sort of let me like graph on my wall. So like my mates would come over and like tag a wall with like,
yeah, that's how it was like that. Yeah.
And, and I had a couple of mates who were actually like legitimately sick at it, like really good at graph. So it was like on my radar, but I didn't really like go out and run around with cans.
No. But like you'd, if you weren't doing it on paper, it was something like copying characters and stuff like that.
Definitely. In fact, you know, before, like the thing that actually got me like really into it before all of that even was, I used to get, when I was really young, do you remember the Beano?
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I love the Beano.
Yeah, the Beano was sick, right? But the Beano had like, for people who don't know, it's like a comic that had like several stories and several different art styles. So like in this one book, in this one comic, you'd have like five or six characters and five or six like types of drawing. So again,
would that mean it was, obviously didn't even clock that. So would that be like a different cartoonist for each different?
Exactly. Yeah. I think
I didn't clock that.
Yeah.
But I remember being like, cause I remember liking more stories, some more than others, just because of the way that the art looked, and being like, oh, sick. Yeah. But then that
would have been Bash Street Kids.
I think Calamity James. Yeah, his was like, I remember really liking that because his was like super detailed. Then there was like Dennis the Menace, obviously, and all of them.
Yeah,
Roger the Dodger. Anyway, it was sick, and I was like, that's when I think I remember being like, oh, this is like clocking that it was someone's job to do that. Do you know what I mean? And being like, oh, that's, and I remember wanting, I don't know if you did it in your school, but they had like a sort of what do you want to be when you grow up kind of like form that you fill out, and like people were writing all sorts, but I remember putting like cartoonists back then.
Amazing.
But it was largely from like, you know, reading these kinds of like
comics. And thinking to yourself, I enjoy drawing, this is a type of job that
definitely like which was sick. But graph was also there, but I didn't have the skills or the guts to like kind of run around.
Of course.
I remember being trackside with my, I don't know why I said I would come, with my mate who was doing a dub, and literally after like 10 seconds I was like, fucking hell, what am I doing? I want to go right now. And I had to just stand there with my hands on my hips watching him do it. I was like nodding along, sort of thinking, let's get the fuck out of here.
I mean, like I remember one of my mate's older brothers was a writer, and he had been like, I think he'd just been arrested or he was getting like sort of chased by police or something. And he managed to like call his, so he'd been arrested, but he managed to call his brother who was at home to tell him to like, cause he had all these, like his room was covered in his tags. So like, if they come home, they're going to be like, oh, they're yours. Yeah. So
you're done.
This guy, his younger brother was like in his room trying to like, he'd like, oh, there's like paint under the stairs or whatever. So he like was up in the room with his hands, like trying to paint over all this like graph in his brother's older room, like trying to like, and I was just remember like seeing this and just being like, this is a mad life. Like these guys live, like
it's quite stressful.
Yeah. They like, you know, like throwing sketches in, like not in your bin, but in your neighbor's bin, just because like, you know, you can't have any evidence lying around.
That's a mafia FBI shit.
Yeah. Cartoonist sort of.
Yeah. You're like, I think I'll be a cartoonist.
Winning
on that one.
Yeah. I was like, I'll just choose the quiet life. Like,
So where did it start becoming a thing where you thought, you know, obviously at school saying, oh, I'd like to be a cartoonist. But where did it start becoming a thing where, like, what did you go to uni? Did you study? Like,
I studied design at uni.
Design, right.
And
what was the first time you either, I don't know, I guess started earning off it or started getting a little bit of recognition off it sort of thing?
Well, weirdly, like, I remember this was going back way before uni and stuff. Like a family friend had like asked, he'd like seen some of my drawings, like again, like really, really young. And he'd like paid me like 25 quid or something to buy like, you know, a few pieces. And they're like little like biro drawings or whatever. But I remember being like, this is crazy. Like, you've just given me more money than like I've seen in my 10 years on this earth.
Like, 25 quid.
Yeah.
100%.
I just did that for free with my hand.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll do you a 30 foot design for that.
You give me 200 for that?
But yeah. Like, but like, well, back, like 25 quid was like.
Yeah.
Of course.
That's like.
Major paper.
That's hundreds of beanos right there. So like,
100%.
Well, like 25 beanos, but
that's hundreds back then.
But that's hundreds.
Yeah.
The conversion rate for children, like, it's all bad. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, but then I was like, wow. Even then, I was like, you've paid me cash for something that I've like effectively made out of my head and drawn and stuff like that. So that was like weirdly a first kind of taste of earning something from it. I think like in terms of recognition, I don't even know. I'm trying to think. Like,
can we mention the Rockstar Games thing?
Yeah.
Sick. I've got so many questions. I'm joking. When the fuck is 6 coming out?
Exactly. When is 6 coming out?
So,
you know.
Sealed. No. Let's let people know. So, what I want to know is the timescales of like.
Yeah.
You went to uni, and then from there, did you? Was that your first step into like? The game, let's say, like working for Rockstar Games. What is it? Is it game design? Was it like a designer?
Yeah. I was like on the 2D art team.
Amazing.
At Rockstar, yeah. But I think actually I was like, I just got it. I'd started talking to you guys.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm asking because I'm thinking like.
You guys were, I remember coming to meet you guys. Because weirdly, I know this sounds mad, but like my like artistic career and journey is like weirdly linked to your artistic like career and journey. What was so weird was when I started doing stuff on Instagram, I remember because I was just a fan of People Just Do Nothing, and then I heard you guys had got the pilot on BBC.
Because you'd seen it on YouTube and stuff.
I was watching it on YouTube. I was like, oh sick, I'm well gassed that this is coming on BBC or whatever, and I started doing like the like announcement artwork just off, you know, like the Rizzler and stuff like that. They said like,
That was amazing. Yeah. I remember you messaging on Twitter.
Exactly. It was on Twitter.
And then you were like, cause I was like, right, your artwork's sick. And you know, maybe you showed something like inspired by People's Dinner. And then we said, you should just do it.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
That was it. Yeah, exactly.
And then didn't we send you a script even to read? Like, or was that further later on?
You did. I think you did. But I think that was like, down the line when you were
I'm fast forward
but it was mad because I started doing the kind of like and out the sort of socials artwork and stuff like that and that was when I was like, oh sick, you can actually do a bit of artwork, send it to someone that you like and then like get a job from it. which is crazy.
Do you want to explain to anyone that didn't see series one? That's legendary, man. Like, it was just bits of artwork inspired by each episode. I think that's why, you know, maybe we I'd tell you like what's happening in that episode.
That was it.
Which must have been cool if you were a fan.
Oh,
and
man,
we're like,
the first
kind of engagement we had with someone that was like gave a shit about us, but also had something sick to offer. You know, and it was like it was really cool actually just to chat with you, see what you came out with without us having to even tell you much. It's just amazing.
Yeah, I mean, probably a lot of people. I bet you millions of people say this to you now, but that whole thing of like, oh, I know that world that People Just Do Nothing. Like,
yeah.
You know, and that was definitely like part of what like London was a bit like when I was growing up. And so I kind of instantly felt like I knew what I would love to do to the artwork, etc. Then when we were chatting and I was like, I can't, but this is crazy.
I feel like you understood the small details of it.
Yeah, exactly.
It's always refreshing to work with someone and to be able to like, you know, give them what your vision is and have a chat, but not really needed to guide too much. Do you know what I mean? It's like, it's nice that it just meant you were on a level. Do you know what I mean?
And then that kind of weirdly led to, because then that happened. And then you guys obviously were doing Later the Tape.
Yeah.
And then, I was showing the grime portraits at the Tate at the same time.
Okay, so that's the Legends of the Scene, right?
Yeah, that's the Legends of the Scene.
Yeah, so talk us through how that started, because that's what probably a lot of people know you for.
Yeah.
As like your kind of your big break in the music scene, at least.
Yeah,
right?
That was the thing that kind of got like attention for the like wider attention. Basically, it was like a series of portraits of sort of like, I guess, the sort of founding fathers of like grime, if you like. And what's so mad is that, like, again, it's still kind of tied into what you guys were doing, because you did that show, you did the takeover with Mr. Jam.
Yeah.
When you brought out Craig David.
Yeah. Yeah.
And because that was at the end of, I must have been like, what, 2015?
Yeah, 14, 15. Yeah.
14, 15, maybe. Yeah.
And I remember because obviously, like, being, I was like a massive grime fan, but up until that point, it wasn't like, it was still my generation and before who were like really still into grime. But like, this, it felt like at that point, like, whether or not it was that show, but like that, there was definitely a point watching that when Craig David came back and it was all just, everyone was going absolutely mad for it. It was like, oh, this is all going to come back around again. Like, it just, and it felt like that was the moment where I was like, okay, I want to do something to sort of solidify the legends who came before, but then like offer something for the you know,
newer generation.
For the newer generation. Yeah. And like, so it was like Skepta, Wiley, D Double, Dizzy.
Mm.
But then like Stormzy was in there when Stormzy was kind of like young Stormzy sort of doing it. So they're these kind of like
gigs.
Gigs in there, as well.
Corrupt FM as well.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's in my living room.
Yeah. I got it here,
So like, I guess they were like
I've got number one as well.
Yeah, I think you've got double, haven't you?
Yeah, I've got double and I've got number one.
Oh, sick. The Corrupt FM one, yeah.
1 of 20? Of the
really, I've got, because mine's number 1 of 20 as well. Sick. When I checked, no, I'm joking.
Original version, yeah.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, yo! Ha ha! Ha 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 ha! Will everybody shut the fuck up?
Settle down!
You're in tune to the Chatting Shit Podcast!
UK stand up!
The world's greatest!
The best there ever was that ever lived!
Series 2 out now, motherfucker!
Oh, gosh!
Ha ha!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Are you ready?
Check it!
Fucking drilly right now!
Ha!
Did I use that in the right sort of context, man?
Oh yeah, G, that's calm, G. Like drilly's like, as long as you're on the op block, like.
The what?
Op block, like.
Op block.
Yeah, like that's like a hot, like, like.
Is that like out, sort of outside?
Yeah, G.
Right,
like.
G.
Hey man, like, I don't even know anymore. Man's sannied out, G.
Oh, serious?
Man's in Zanzibar, G.
Oh, that's so calm.
Coach. Anyway, I'll catch you later, G.
Yeah, G, come.
Where did you come up with the concept of it being like these regal old style paintings? Because that's just such a sick idea, man.
Mm. I guess like, for me, they were two British things, if that makes sense. Like grime itself was like a British institution, and the way that, like, traditionally, I mean, obviously it happens all over the place, but, you know, kings and queens and royalty and stuff, like those kinds of regal portraits is like, you know, how people in this country were like celebrated as well. Like those like important people.
You see them in like stately homes.
Stately homes or like, you know, national galleries, etc.
But it's normally with like a hunting dog. Sort of.
But what's really interesting about all those paintings, those portraits, is that they're full of like little details that speak about the character of the person in it. So if you are like a history and art buff or whatever, you can look at these pictures and be like, you'll know about this guy's life or his achievements or her achievements, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And it felt like this is like a really nice thing with this new generation coming in with the grime stuff to kind of try and speak about, like, you know, with D-Double, you've got nods to tracks that he's made, like the Street Fighter medal on his chest because he made his Street Fighter track.
So the details, man.
Because like, weirdly though, it was like at the Tate exhibition when they got shown, you know, I was watching like, well, you were there. You saw there were like 16-year-olds running around with like cans of Red Stripe and stuff inside.
Yeah.
You know, it's fucking mad. But at the same time, seeing those guys in a place where probably they'd never been or didn't feel like there was anything for them there, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
And then they're looking at these paintings that kind of look similar to the paintings on the walls, like that are actually in there, but they're the experts, like these young ones, like were able to.
Yeah.
They're the ones picking out all these
the details.
They're the ones that could tell you. And like seeing that bringing an audience into, like a new audience into this place was like, especially in the art world as well, which can be a bit elitist and a little, it's not the emotional.
And it can be intimidating if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, it's like wine. Wine's like that as well, right? You know,
absolutely. Yeah. And it still is like quite a, like, you know, a bit of a members club, if you like.
Yeah, definitely.
Galleries and stuff like that. But it felt for me, that was like a very big turning point in what I wanted to do. Cause I was like, a lot of people think art isn't for them or that they can't do art or they don't want to look at art because like it's stupid and it doesn't speak to them or whatever.
And a lot of people think that they might be getting it wrong when there is no.
Yeah, that's how I feel a little bit. Like, I don't know.
You're a moron.
Yeah.
And you are getting
is
it wrong.
Is this good? I don't know if this is good. 90%
of art is pictures though, so you are on the right track.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah, I've got three Rubens in my manor house.
That's the only art that talks to you, boy, and that's the only art we need on this.
Yeah. I've only got three in my whole house.
Yeah. That night was a crazy night. It's such a good point about bringing people of a certain age and a certain generation, especially that Tate as well, because that's not modern.
Because it's not the contemporary. It's like old school. Yeah. Lots of hunting dogs. Lots of.
It's sick, man. Like, I think it's an amazing, like, even kind of like a social experiment in a sense. You know what I mean? Like, and like changing people's perceptions on.
Definitely, man. I think you're right. I think like, even with the sports stuff, like I started, because I remember like I started doing kind of reaction stuff during the like World Cup in like 2018.
Was that your first taste of that kind of reaction?
A little bit. I think what was interesting was like, that was stuff that, because obviously you're kind of riding a wave, like people have obviously engaged in that subject or whatever, and you're kind of off, and it started snowballing, and you had like some of the players reacting to it, and it was like getting a bit mad, and people were like then waiting for your next, they're like, oh, what are you going to do about, you know, people were like, what's next? How are you going to react to this? Oh, I've been waiting for your reaction to that. Which was like pressure, but it was also kind of like, wow, this is really interesting. People are really engaged. But more than that, again, it was like, there was like a set of those fans. And this isn't generalizing, but like a lot of those fans were not like art fans, if that makes sense. They were like, you know, I had like messages from like, oh, I'm the president of the Stoke Supporters Club or whatever. And like, this is the first piece of art that I've bought. Like, and it was like, you know what I mean? And it, there was cool, something, which was really cool. Like, because it's quite a mad thing whenever anyone buys a bit of your art and puts it on the wall of their house, but for them to be kind of like, oh, this is the first bit of art,
man, like, not only, like you say, not only people appreciating your art and you sort of monetizing it and that, you're converting people as well. You don't know, that's a domino effect, you know. Then they'll go on to like, oh, actually this is kind of cool because I kind of like Ruben's thing, and now I think I do like art, you know what I mean?
Totally. And having that thing of like, oh, this does speak to me, or for whatever reason, and this can be something that I don't know. It's less intimidating like that, and I think, but that, definitely that kind of thing of that art should be for everyone. And I think that that was like it in action, which was like amazing for me.
Yeah.
So you're like, you know, you're talking about how like some of the sports players and that kind of received it, and but like with the music that happened too, because
Yes.
Didn't you go on to, like, after you did the Legends of the Scene, you set design Stormzy's tour?
Yeah, so, yeah, it was mad. So, basically, like, just after I did the Stormzy piece, and, like, this is going back a long time now, but Stormzy was just going on it. Yeah, it was his first UK tour. I can't remember
what it was. Popping as well.
Yeah, yeah. This was, like, Shut Up. And
yeah,
you know what
yeah,
I mean? It was like those
yeah,
kinds.
Yeah.
And his team had like got in touch and were like, oh, we want you to help like put together his like set design. So it was like we turned his
amazing
painting into the design for his like set, which is that's nuts, crazy. Like completely crazy for me. But like music's like a massive part of all my art. Like it's like they go hand in hand, and like a lot of the projects I do are like music based or for artists or like album artwork and stuff.
Yeah.
And actually that's kind of like the beauty of say like Instagram as well, is you can just sort of be like, oh man, your work is sick. Like or your music is amazing. Like do you want to do collaborate on something? And people are like, yeah, like I don't know. It's really.
It must be, man. Like, because I know you. Like, we know each other, and I know you're a fan of the city. It's not like you're an outsider coming in and want it. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
a lot of the people you work with, I know you're a fan of. You know what I mean? And it's sick to see like mutual fandom from each side. You know, because these people know about you now. And like, didn't you design the Slow Tie tee?
Yeah, that was for his Brixton show. Yeah, did something with Slow Tie.
I mean, like Loyal Kana.
Loyal Kana, yeah, did his like tour posters and stuff, which is again like it's just from, and like his manager Tomo was like at Tate that night, you know.
Wow.
So like when I started speaking to him, he was like, "Man, I've been wanting to do something since the Tate," and I was like, "This is crazy!" Like how it all sort of, like you know, like you said, comes back
full circles.
What happened with gigs? Didn't you travel up to like give him a painting?
Yeah, that was for where was it? Is it Leeds? I think it was like somewhere mad. Yeah,
was he doing a show?
He was doing it was I think it was
record
Q&A basically like Hattie
yeah Collins, man yeah
like, legendary. She was basically hosting this thing. I can't remember what it was called. It was like a big exhibition. Red Bull were putting it on.
I remember
in Leeds, and like Giggs was doing a Q&A, and Neil got the painting up, and it was like on the stage of Giggs, and again this That's is going amazing. Back a couple of years, so for me it's like. It's mad. It's like the whole, you know, you're a fan of these people and stuff, and like seeing them together, you're just like, this is fucking crazy.
Crazy.
I feel like the maddest thing is like when you can like marry your interests together. Do you know what I mean? You're like, this is something I really like. That's the thing that I'm like passionate about, or whatever. But bringing them together, like you're able to bring them together, and it's like, oh, this is
that's you know perfection, I mean? Man. That's it's the dream,
so,
isn't it?
Yeah. So it's really cool, man. So and they go, you know, what I mean, like art and music are like two sides of the same coin, sort of thing. They're,
it's the same thing. I call myself an artist.
Yours is called art. I'm an artist.
Open to interpretation.
Yeah, exactly. Have you ever had controversial one? Have you ever had like anyone that you've not someone you've worked with, but someone that you've done something of or about? You know, like one of those paintings or anything. Not like it.
Yeah, definitely. Kano. I don't think he liked his at all.
Just heard nothing.
No, because I remember, like, I think his manager was like, "Oh, can I get one of the D double ones? They're so sick, like the D double E ones." And we were like, "Yeah, okay, we'll get one for Kano." And then we were like, "Oh, you know, actually, I've got one for just finishing up one for Kano." And then like they're like, "Oh, sick! We're so excited! Like, can't wait to see." I think I sent it to him, and it was like,
"Yeah,
yeah." Like, and then like months later I was like, whatever happened with that? And it was like, yeah, they just weren't feeling it. And I was like,
oh my god. Yeah, I love that, like you've literally you make like an amazing painting, like putting someone on the highest pedestal, and they're man. Like, I don't really like the ear.
Yeah. It's not a vibe.
The face isn't really exactly what it is now.
Yeah, so that cut me, but like But shout out.
Hey, you know, it's good to know that even gorgeous people like Kano have the same insecurities. So it's great. It's good to know.
Come on. We're just humans.
We'll have them.
We're
just gorgeous humans.
Yeah.
We are just gorgeous humans, man.
Wow, DJ Ostrich, why you stop the show? Well, I tell you, bro, this is the most important part. It's the question everybody wants to know. No, it is not what is your favorite jean fit. No, it is not what is your favorite size inch television. It's what is your favorite sandwich?
All right, bro. So this is one of the questions we ask all of our guests. And I think it's a really important one because it kind of shows I don't know what man you're about. You are. Yeah, yeah, and like
what kind of person?
Yeah. Yeah, what you can bring to the table in life. And it's what's your favorite sandwich?
Literally, what can you bring to the table? Okay. Can I have one? Can I have multiple? Is it just?
Oh
like,
yeah, no. Okay. Are you a sandwich man?
Do you I love sandwiches. Absolutely, yeah. Up there with okay. The.
And,
best
when I say sandwich man, I mean sandwich human. I'm not judging. Mm. Whatever.
Very.
You might one day want to.
That's out of border, actually.
It's up to you. It's up to you. Your choices. All right.
Yeah.
But yeah, you can have a top three. You can have a top three.
Okay. So, like, going out. There, if there's like a
going out sandwich, going like, out so sandwich. If I'm going out on a night out,
night out,
I've got a shirt on. The sandwich I bring for that is,
yeah, exactly. If it's like rave sandwich,
what you bring with you into the rave,
something quite durable that I can chew on for hours when I do it.
And one that you can like tuck into your socks,
won't break down in your pocket,
yeah,
got to be very sturdy, doesn't disintegrate,
a bit sour.
I think number one, there's a restaurant in Crouch Hill called Max's Sandwich Shop.
Amazing. And, love that spot.
Yeah, it is amazing. And calling it a sandwich is probably not doing it justice. It's like a meal. It's like a serious meal. And he's got a sandwich there called I think it's ham egg and chips. Mm. Yeah. And it's
hard,
It's got like shoestring chips in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, can you explain it properly to a moron like Hugo that's never been?
Yeah, sounds like a meal in bread.
I think it's so start with the bread. I think it's like focaccia bread.
Yes, yes.
And because he's like very anti-sourdough. He's like, he's like, it's a shit bread for a sandwich. It just like, it's too tough. When you bite in it, sandwich just falls apart and it's a real mess.
Now let's keep sourdoughs for the open sandwiches. Should we say that?
Oh, avocado, egg. Yeah, I like that. The open. Yeah, yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, that's like a breakfast.
yeah, exactly. Little avo or whatever. Yeah.
Like a little
plate. So it's not ham, like your wafer thin hams. It's like ham hock, like a decent piece of ham hock, like brined or some madness.
Yeah.
And then it's shoestring fries, which are like effectively tiny chips. And then obviously a fried egg.
Yeah.
And
there's like a piccalilli sauce.
Piccalilli sauce, which is nuts. And then he's got this like, and this is actually, I do this now whenever I use mayonnaise, because he's got this thing.
Shove it up your ass. Oh, sorry.
That's exactly it.
Oh, no, it is good, yeah.
Squeeze it back out.
He like adds vinegar to the mayonnaise. So like, if you got like mayonnaise.
I didn't know that.
Like put 2 tablespoons of mayonnaise, add a tablespoon of white vinegar, and if you mix that up, just like puts your mayonnaise on steroids. It's like
it almost brings out the mayonnaise-y flavor more, sort of thing.
But because it's like sharp and like cuts it.
That's so nice.
It's not So it's, I think he. So it's got that some mad mayo and the piccalilli, the fries, the ham, the egg, and I think that's it.
Wait, bro, that's one of my favorite sandwiches as well, actually. And I respect you so much for bringing it up because no one else has spoke about that place. Sandwich number two. That's saying thing for series two, I think I'm going to start.
Okay, this is a sandwich for a different situation, right?
Staying in
sandwich of the people. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, if you every day need to like...
Chip munchers.
Yeah, it's in everyone's fridge.
Get
a meal deal, basically.
Yeah, got you.
Go get your I don't know. Something, even something dead like chicken and sweet corn or whatever, something like that. But then you just get the packet of salt and vinegar crisps
and throw them on the floor.
Put it inside. Suddenly that sandwich has gone from a 3 to a steaming 6.5.
Yeah, I love that. And what you've done there is emulate the adding vinegar to the mayonnaise as well, because you got the salt and vinegar.
Yes. Yeah. See, I was already on that connoisseur vibe, but I just didn't know.
But what would it be? The chicken and sweet corn?
Yeah, I'd probably go tuna sweet corn with salt and
tuna.
Vinegar crisp.
Right. Okay.
Nice.
Oh my gosh, sandwich number 3. That's really difficult.
Also, just to throw in there, we've had bagels, we've had shawarma, we've had tacos,
burritos.
Burritos. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, a salt beef bagel is like with pickles and the mustard is like that's like classic. You can't go wrong.
Cat's deli situation.
Yeah, but it's very like dependent on where.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right.
So I guess if you're knocking about Golders Green, like a Carmelli's,
Something like that one. Let me write that down, man.
Nice
shit.
Little Jewish situation.
Yeah, some sort of Jewish situation.
Definitely.
Is,
it's the best.
Yeah.
All right, sick. That's a strong selecki, man.
Yeah.
So this is the last part of the show, and I'd say I think you'd admit the most important part of the show is
the three questions.
You've got to ask me and Hugo three questions because that's what everyone's here for.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So the first question, you both. Musical guys,
big time
into still doing the music thing, which is
never stop.
If you were in like a Def Jam Vendetta fighting game, what would be your like individual finishes? They all had like sick. Do you remember that game? It was like,
give a few examples for the listeners.
It was like a fighting game, like Street Fighter or whatever. But you played.
You'd have like Method Man and
It'd be like Sean Paul.
Method Man.
Wow. And they all have like finishing moves that were sort of like a bit related to.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, Sean Paul would say some mad, like, I can't remember what
Give me the light, pull out a light.
Yeah, exactly. And then
Exactly.
And so they'd all have something that's sort of related to their.
Oh, that's sick. Okay.
Their character, or whatever. Why don't you do it? You could answer it as Grindr, or you could answer.
Maybe might be easier to do it as Grindr. Okay.
Yeah. So what would you think Grindr's like?
Okay, that's a sick one. I've often thought this. Grindr's would be Let's think of Mortal Kombat. It says finish him. So it all sort of pauses.
The other guy's like dazed.
Grindr jumps up into the air. And lands on a golden sort of a sledge throne sort of thing, that's floating in the air, gets this huge lightning bolt shaped mic, starts emceeing so fast without taking a breath that it spins this guy into a sort of a whirlhole, and then chucks the lightning bolt at his head, and then the bass from the lyrics hits him into his head and explodes his lungs everywhere, and then Grindr just lands back down and goes, "Big it up, you mug."
Or you're welcome.
Welcome. Yeah, no. Bollocks.
I'm still trying to visualize the sledge throne.
Yeah, same. I love it. I thought you were going to say a gold Kawasaki, like 125 quad bike.
What about you?
Yeah, sick.
I think Beats's one would be before it gets to finishing. Obviously Beats would punch him and then he would do like a whistle sound and then Grindr would burst out and Grindr would scream, hold me back. And then Beats can't hold him back anymore. He trumples. Is that a word?
Yeah.
He stamps Beats into the ground, runs over him and then literally, in Goodfellas where he's got the gun.
Yeah.
But he just keeps punching him.
And screaming, bang, 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 whack. Yeah.
And it goes on for ages. And at the end, you're welcome.
3 minutes.
Yeah. With a instead of the gun, it's a gold mic.
With a gun attached to it.
So in that fight, your Beats dies.
Yeah. Definitely.
He's so loyal. That
And what's mad is he actually dies before the other guy.
Yeah. But personally, I'd like Sean Paul just to jump out and do something.
That lighter, giant lighter.
Yeah.
Or just goes, something or so then.
It's such a good game. Definitely worth checking out. Okay, fucking hell. Three questions. And then what is your most, because you guys, you're big time stars now. Famous, very, very famous, very successful. Very handsome and just rubbing shoulders with a lot of other very successful, handsome people.
What is
your most like soul-crushingly awkward moment with another famous person where like sometimes when you think about it, you just go, oh, fuck.
I know mine immediately.
Go on.
When we were at Glastonbury and I'd worked with Giggs previously on a track, and for about 4 hours when I was working with him the first time, he thought I was just an engineer, even though it was my beat. But he was very polite, very charming.
He charmed you.
Yeah, he's a very nice guy. But yeah, we were at Glastonbury and I used to work with Bashy quite a lot, and he was there with Bashy and Kano.
Yeah.
And Kano had just done a set. And I was watching the set, and next to me was Giggs. And I turned to him and I was like, "Hey, man, you all right?" And he went, "Yeah, you're right." And I was like, "Yeah." And then I never say this, but I just went, "Do you remember me?" Like a child. And he went, "Yeah, still." And I was like, "Yeah." And then it felt like an hour, but it's probably about 3 minutes of complete silence standing next to him. And then, yeah, man, it just walked off. It was horrible. Like,
oh, man.
It pains me.
That would literally haunt me.
But for him, it was nothing. Like, for him, he was just watching his mate do a set, and this guy he'd worked with probably vaguely remembered just said that to him, and he was like, "Yeah, you're right. What? Oh, yeah. All right."
But you did make up for it though in Ibiza.
Yeah, we saw him in Ibiza, and he was on the phone. To be fair, distracted, and we walked past, and he clocked me because he's polite. Like, he's a nice guy, and he saw me, and he put his thumb up and said, "Yo." All right. He went, "Yo, what are you saying, man? You're right." And I was like, "Safe,
he remembered
man.
Me."
Then he looked at us and went, "I fucking told you. He's my best man."
And I was with everyone and I was like, "Yes!
That's amazing. That's amazing.
My best mate gig."
Yeah. You're over here, Spinny.
Hello, hello, man. You're right? Yeah, I already said it right. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. I'm trying to remember. There's definitely been millions of those situations for me because I'll usually get quite waved as well. But like there's one time, yeah, that I really remember feeling really degraded and little and just, why did I do that? Because I know this as well. You never do, before someone goes onto stage, yeah, you don't talk to, I hate when people do that to me. Like I've shut people down doing that to me. You know what I mean? Like you're a bit nervous. You've got the mic in your hand and you're in the wings or whatever. This is at fucking Glastonbury, yeah? And this is around the time where we were kind of, like, matey with Stormzy and stuff, and he come out for us for a few times. Like,
you're our best mates now.
Proper, yeah. Yeah, well, I'm still his best mate. He's not answering my calls. this might have been what sparked it off. Nah, but, you know, like, around the time where we were a lot more active on the festival circuit and that, and, yeah, and he was really, like, kind and accommodating to even be coming out to us sort of shit, so we well appreciated it. But anyway, we saw him at Glastonbury, yeah? Bruv, same place where your thing happened, Hugo, yeah? We got told by Vice magazine, we got given a 35mm camera and just take photos throughout the day and we'll do an article with the photos, yeah? So like, yeah, cool. I'm getting, and it was meant to be like Marv taking the photos and stuff, and then I'm getting more waved, so I'm like, yeah, I'll take a few. And then I was chatting to Stormzy before, everything was cool. Then I come back and he's getting his fucking, you know, in-ears put in, his mic handed to him. Man. And I go, "Stormzy, should you get a quick photo? It's advice I got to take for you." He's like, and he looked at me, he's like, "Yeah, man, well, I got to go on stage, bro. Like, we could do it in a bit." And I was like, "Yeah, all good, man." And I just felt like such a dick, bro. I know not to do that. Why the fuck did I do that? Why did I overstep that mark? And,
since then,
he's never returned my calls.
There should be a word for it. I can't think of a good word.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, the moment that you, it's like a cringe traction. You're like walking down the street and you literally like, for some reason it pops into your head randomly, whatever it is. And you almost like implode. You're like,
and you need a shower immediately.
Yeah, you're just like,
was that question number? No, that was question two. Number two. Yeah, yeah. Number three,
okay.
Bro.
Okay. If you weren't doing what you were doing now, like the music and the acting and stuff, like what do you think that you would be doing?
Good question. Dead or in jail, baby.
Dead or in jail, right? Bobby.
Obviously.
Obviously.
Trapping.
Hey, trapping that. I guess, I mean, nah, do you know what? I remember Hugo kind of making it first. Making it, you know what I mean? Like getting some success.
Made it out, baby.
Yeah.
Out of the hood.
Yeah. He's getting some success with the music thing, and I was still doing fuck all before People See Nothing. And I remember saying to him, just if nothing pops for me, is it all right to maybe just come to your studio and fiddle with wires and get paid for it, sort of thing? And he's like, yeah, and it will sort of sound out.
Amazing.
So, like, my aspirations were pretty low, man. I'd just be a technical support in a studio.
I like that you still call them technicians, even though it's an engineer.
Is that what?
Yeah, always a technician. Is a technician out?
So. Well, even now, to the guy.
Yeah. That's the job he wanted.
I guess an easy cop out is to say music, but it's kind of tied into what I do. So something to do with food.
Yeah, that's it.
The chef.
What about you, sir? Hugo?
I don't know, man. I remember a mate of my mate, Alfie Danger.
Asking if you wanted to be a professional cage fighter, and you went,
He had a mate called Gasman Dave.
Gasman Dave.
He had a mate called Gasman Dave.
I see where this is going.
He worked for British Gas, and Gasman Dave was telling me how good it was to work for British Gas, and I actually signed up for their apprenticeship scheme online. And then when they called me in for the interview, I was like, this is long.
I don't think I'm into gas.
Yeah, I'm going to be Jay Dilla, so this is long.
Yeah,
but thinking about it, you get a van.
Yeah.
I get a good salary in that. Yeah. It's safe.
Get free gas supply, probably.
I'll be Gasman Dave, I think.
Nice.
Gasman Hughes.
And on that note, thank you very much, Ruben Dangor. You've been amazing, man. Thanks very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Legend. Nice one, lads.
Safe, man. I'm just going to take it off record now and we'll say bye properly.
Okay, so.
Now we're kissing
the screen.
Stop recording.
This is the outro. See you later. And good luck. Stay lucky, boy. Stay lucky, boy.
What a guy. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, man. I did enjoy that. He's a funny guy as well.
Yeah, man.
He's not just all about, you know, serious art.
Yeah, yeah.
There's more to him than that.
Yeah, exactly.
He's funny.
Yeah, and if you thought that he was all about art and you didn't know that, then more fool you.
Yeah. There's humour in his art, mate. Yes. Look at it properly.
Yeah, stop judging him, all right?
Yeah.
Look at his art. If you need to turn it upside down, turn it upside down. You view it how you want to view it.
Yeah, squint. Squint at it. Enjoy it.
Yeah, stop. Stop. Oh, this is how I'm meant to like art. Is it?
This is your guy.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're unsure about art, he's clearly your guy.
If you're unsure about art, check out Ruben Dangor.
Or you're not.
Go follow. Yeah, or you're not. Or you're not worthy of art. And like he explained, even football hooligan idiots like it. So it just, you could get into it.
Thanks.
You know, if they can, even a shit muncher like you can get into it.
Yeah. All check him out on Instagram.
Yeah. Ruben Dangor. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Nice one, you lot. Big ups, yeah?
See you soon. Bye.
See ya. Oh, yeah. Also, we forgot to say that you lot must like and subscribe as well, apparently.
Yeah. Just click on it. It's real easy.
Lift your finger. Yeah. Drop it when you see the like or subscribe. It's done. All right? Yeah.
Done.
Also, follow us on Instagram and our new Twitch account, because we'll be doing live episodes on Twitch every now and then. So keep an eye out.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them are the Chatting Shit Podcast. That's the Chatting Shit Podcast. All right? So follow us on both of them. And also, if you've got any questions, anything you want us to talk about, hit us up on the email. That's chattingshit1@gmail.com. Nice one.
Sweet.
Yeah?
Yeah.
See you later.
See ya.
Hey, yo! Will everyone shut the fuck up? I want to give a crazy, stupid, dope fly shout out to everyone involved in this podcast.
No, fuck that. Who's the brain that produces this show, man?
Man like Rupert Magendi.
And who's the audio editor?
James Torrance, check
it. House. Who's the video editor?
Ha ha, James Lord.
And who does all the illustrations?
It's Alison the Ink.
Mad on the visuals, bruh.
Shout out all the posse down at ACAS Laboratory. Hip-hop, am I right, hustler?
You're not wrong, Playboy Valentino.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.